You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi, Hotel Family. I was stuck there for a minute, huh? Beautiful day today. It is Friday, living for the weekend. And hope you're going to have a great weekend. I hope you're going to get a chance to do all the things you want to do, need, do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it's not, yeah, I know you'll get it done. Right on. Get it done. Great weekend. Enjoy it. Whatever you are and whatever you choose to do, whatever you have to do, need, do, must do, whatever, do it. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to the archive. Just go to timeforanawakening.com, look for other programming, click on that, and there are African Perspectives. Click on that, and there's programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. We appreciate you. And other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Like I said, I'm here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Mondays and Wednesdays from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones. The Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from Monday and Wednesday from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. immediately following my program. Other programming on Mondays, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8 p.m. Right after Acres of Diamonds, which is public affairs programming out of Philadelphia, Acres of Diamonds. Right after Acres of Diamonds, Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. Right after Let's Buy Black 365 is Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, from 8 to 10 on Wednesdays. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. And if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, no doubt about it, it is time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Check them out tonight at 8 p.m. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. No, it ain't me. It's Sister POC in her program, Revive. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Also, Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., Warren Ballantyne Show. Monday through Fridays from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m. right here on the right here on the Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832.
We Buy Black.
WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Go to WeBuyBlack.com. Check out all of those products that are produced by us. But if you are in the Atlanta area, you can check out the kiosk they have at the Greenbrier Mall. And you can buy your products directly from there. And the laundry detergents, the lotions, the salves, the batteries, the shavers, the toothpaste, toothbrushes, man, you name it, and it's produced by us. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Check out AfricaForTheAfricans.org online. And if you want to know more about what's going on and what you can do to access the trip that is coming up with Brother Bomani Tahemba, give him a call at 404-931-9429, 404-931-9429. If you want to check out photos of previous tours, especially the one that just happened this past May, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to check out videos, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007 and get ready for the trip that's going to happen in November, November 22nd to December 2nd. It is South Africa and Cape Town. Brother Bomani is going to South Africa and Cape Town. But then again, at the end of the month of December, December 24th to January 4th, 2020, it is Ghana. He's going back to Ghana. And I'm quite sure if you checked it out, both of those will be very affordable to you. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Shrine of the Black Madonna, located in the West End here in Atlanta, the Shrine of the Black Madonna. The number to call is 404-549-8676, 404-549-8676. And they have everything. They got furniture. They got artwork. They got figurines. They got all kinds of stuff. They have books. If they don't have the book that you are looking for, believe me, they'll get it for you. They have the red, black, and green shoes. That's right, the NASGAS shoes. And they also have Kwanzaa kits, everything right there for the Shrine of Black Madonna. They also have an African Holocaust Museum. They also have a program on Saturdays, a history program of Know Thyself. Brother Olatunji is our instructor, and it is every Saturday, and it is free. And it is free and open to the public. It's from 1:30 p.m. until 3:30 p.m. 1:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. And check it out. But if you can't make that, but you like that information, that's right, brothers and sisters, you can get that through the Shrine of the Black Madonna, the multimedia library. It is the most extensive cultural library. It has over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, over 2,000 books. Brothers and sisters, it is 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment. So check that out from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Medu Bookstore. Medu, of course, means writings. There's a word that goes after Medu, and that means nature. That word is nature, and that means gods. So the ancient writings of the Medu nature, which the Greeks called hieroglyphs, are the writings of the gods. And the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, which, of course, is located right near the kiosk of We Buy Black. So if you go to We Buy Black, you'll see Medu Bookstore. Go in and check it out. They have a nice selection of books and postcards and greeting cards and gift certificates, figurines, T-shirts, all kinds of good stuff for you right there at the Greenbrier Mall. Give them a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263 and check them out. And if they don't have the books you're looking for, believe me, they'll get it. My good sister always comes through. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, my good brother Gazimde Ajamu. The number to call is 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107. My good brother Gazimde Ajamu. Okay. Cafe Ulu. Cafe Ulu, their Thursday night broadcast was last night. And the number to call from 9 p.m. to 10, just 1 hour, brothers and sisters, Sister Nanana and Bubba Kimbizi, outstanding program, talked about capitalism and racism and how it's a different side of the same damn coin, you know. And the number to call to listen to the program or either participate is 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789. 89. And that is Cafe, excuse me, that is Us Lifting Us, the Thursday night broadcast. Brothers and sisters, I'm constantly will promote the Us Lifting Us as an economic development cooperative, as an alternative to the capitalism and the exploited nature of it. This is a idea that is African, comes out of the idea of Kwanzaa, you know, Ujamaa, cooperative economics. We like to call it family-centered economics, where we pull our monies together and create something for ourselves. I'm asking you, dear brothers and sisters, go online to ulu.com and join. Become a constant member. Go to cafeulu.com and buy some of the coffee. If you're in the Atlanta area, you can stop in at 2036 Sylvan Road. We're open Tuesday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. We got coffee, brothers and sisters. We have Cameroon, Tanzania, Ethiopian, of course, where coffee is born, and Kenyan, other coffees, and loose teas. Everything at Cafe Ulu is produced by us. Everything that we sell is produced by us. You can give us a call at 470-788-8124. 470-788-8124. Or go online, cafeulu.com. CafeUlu.com and order something. Another promotion we got out of Cafe Ulu is Ambrosia, the delicious drink that was developed by Brother Novak Young. It's a vitality drink. It is delicious. So please, brothers and sisters, check them out. Akabin Institute, there's a few other announcements I'm going to make aside from Akabin Institute. Of course, I always promote Brother Baba Baruti and Sister Yah Baruti and the work that they're doing and asking you. I don't ask for a dime for African perspectives. I ask you for nothing. I ask you to listen and share. But some of the announcements I make, I'm asking you to support, because I think these institutions and these activities and all these things that are happening need to be supported. So I'm asking you to support what's going on. And Akabin Institute, make your check and money order out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786. P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. If you have Cash App or PayPal, you can also put in the email, YAM, the letter M, then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. Sanjay Haiti, Sister Gabby, Sister Gabrielle Miro, her program in the northeastern and rural portion of Haiti is just phenomenal. I'm asking you to just go online and look, just to see for yourself. SONJE-AYITI.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org, and the work that she's doing with young people and that community to make it self-sufficient. It's phenomenal. Black Talk Radio Project 2019 Media Fund. The Black Talk Radio Network.com, which we are a part of. Brother Scotty Reed, he needs our support and he deserves our support. It is the number one Black Talk Radio podcast in the country. And in order for him to expand and do other things, we need that support. So brothers and sisters, go to blacktalkradionetwork.com. And right soon you get there, you'll see it. It's right there. You don't even have to change the page. You can just scroll down to your right side and you'll see the donation thing. Click on that and make your donation to the Black Talk Radio Project 2019 Media Fund. Also, too, August 17th, my good brother Jabari Jamani has the African or the Black Consciousness Caravan that's going to take place in L.A. If you are in the L.A. area in that time during the Marcus Garvey weekend, which is August 17th, you can give the brother a call at 323-292-5550. 323-292-5550. Or you can check them out online at BIFA _ center. AFIBA, BIFA _ center @hotmail.com. And that is my good brother, Brother Jabari Jumaane. Today is, of course, is Friday, and Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness is on Blog Talk Radio. That's my good brother, Yusuf Muhammad, another former president of the IABPFF, the Black Firefighters Association. And he's been running this program for quite a few years, Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Brother Yusuf Muhammad. And the number to call for Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness is 563-999-3089. 563-999-3089. And Sister Yah sent me this. This is Dr. Chiki Akua. He's offering a free intro course. Dr. Chiki Akua's Introduction to African Origins, a free 6-day video e-course. Day one, remembering the role of history. Day two, African sacred science. Day three, African origins of our faith. Day four, the mastery and the mastery of the Moors. Day five, wonders of West Africa. And day six, the miracle of the Maafa. So check it out. Subscribe. Just go online and click in freeintrotoafricanorigins.com. Freeintrotoafricanorigins.com. Last week, of course, I had on Renoko, and of course, Renoko, he has a tour. He has a number of tours coming up this year still, or next year. I think he has one at the end of the year. Yes, he does. But this is, let me see, where we got it at here. And here it is. Open that up for you. And this one is January 21st to February 4th, 2020, going to Senegal, Gambia, and Guinea-Bissau. Senegal, Gambia, and Guinea-Bissau. It's going to be a fabulous trip, my first group of the tour of 2020. We will visit three fascinating West African countries. We have an excellent tour operator, a great price, superb hotels, wonderful cuisine, history, arts, and culture, plenty of shopping opportunities. And, of course, you're going to have Renoko Rashidi. The rate, $3,856 sharing a twin room. Wow, that is tremendous for that amount of time. And if you want a single room, just an additional $680 on a single room, it leaves New York January 21st, 2020, on a flight to Senegal. And you go from Senegal to Gambia into Guinea-Bissau. I don't want to go over all of the details, but you get that information. I'm announcing it, and I will continue to announce it for Brother Renoko Rashidi and his program. Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesim. Yesterday was August 1st. August 1st. The cages were for blacks on death row. The open yards were for whites on the row. Mumia Abdul-Jabbar. European people are one nation. Their privilege is maintained through the individual and joint performances of duties essential to their system survival. Every single one of them is intricately interconnected to the stability and progress of this reality. As one, they exercise real power over all in their purview. We often make the grave mistake of separating the benevolent words and deeds of individual Europeans from their national effort. Do not be confused. Long ago, the European mind as one decided that whatever was not them must be controlled or destroyed by violence or the threat of it. I repeat, long ago, the European mind as one decided whatever was not them must be controlled or destroyed by violence or the threat of it. Those who do this necessary nation-maintaining work are all who know and love, whether consciously or not, what they are. Racism is so deeply encoded in their being. It is in, you can't separate it. Okay? What sense would Mamiya's statement make otherwise? Both groups of men are on death row and are slated to die at the hands of the state. Why, even then, in the place where individuals prepare for death, would Africans be forced to endure further humiliating conditions? Affirm, I do not separate Europeans from Europeans. Ashe. Affirm, I do not separate Europeans from Europeans. August 2nd. I don't know nothing from the white. I don't want nothing from the white man. All I want to do is just give him hell all the days of my life. Too bad it was a short life. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. How can aliens safely stroll through our neighborhoods? And they do. I'm here in Atlanta in a neighborhood that was historically ours that's being gentrified. How can aliens safely stroll through our neighborhood? How can they be so carefree walking in the presence of people they have done everything beyond the human imagination to destroy? They can only be comfortable amid those they dominate because they know the menticidal process they forced on us is operative and effective. It is only because of the success of this military program against us that they know that even we will protect them from us. It is only because of the success of this military program against us that they know that even we will protect them from us. They know we would prefer to commit suicide against each other than to remove those who are killing us, because we have learned to see each other as the greater enemy. And these pale parasites take great pride in knowing how well they have turned us against ourselves and toward them. Their unadulterated arrogance, invasion of our space, tells us that. Yet we can still smell their fear. They reek of it. The Europeans' greatest trepidation is of those among us to whom they have nothing to offer and in whom they can create no need or confidence. Those Africans they cannot control. Power is self-evident in the man or woman who helps liberate African minds, regardless of what offers have to, regardless of what others have to offer. Affirm, I am prepared for any, I am prepared for any operation. I am prepared for any operation. The Enye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. A little bit longer. Got a few more announcements, I guess, but I appreciate you guys hanging in there. I appreciate that. And I appreciate just you, me being here and you out there and you listening and me, you know, but please join me. Join the conversation, 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Didn't get a chance to read an article from the Arrow. In fact, I've been trying to read this for the last few times. I'm going to read this right now. And this article from the Arrow, which, of course, is the newspaper of the African world, the New Institution of the African World, the Organization for African Unity out of San Antonio, Texas. You know my affinity and love for them. The newspaper is going to be quarterly. It was monthly. Now it's going to be quarterly. I'm going to contact them, see if I can advertise for African Perspectives on a quarterly basis, see how much that will cost me. Because, I mean, you know, we're trying to get this word out. I'm trying to be a part of the movement for the liberation of the minds of African people. Because if you free your mind, your ass will follow. Believe me. It is all about the mind. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. This program only deals with independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. That means the African mind is free when you have sovereignty. When you have self-determination, the African mind is free. And you ain't scared. You are liberated. You work with one another.
You trust one another. But also, too, you punish those who want to do harm to our people. You punish them. The article I wanted to read is Closing Ranks. Closing Ranks. That's what we have to do, brothers and sisters. Close ranks. That's what Cafe Ulu is about. Us lifting us. Closing ranks. Pulling our resources and doing for ourselves. Closing ranks. Making sure that all of us participate in some form or fashion to the success and forward flow of our people. Close ranks. Closing ranks to energize our struggle. And, of course, the byline is Babu Phil, or Baba Phil, Phil Johnson, who made his transition some years ago. And they still use his byline. And they still have a great narrative in the Arrow newspaper. As we hurtle into the year, minds, bodies, and spirits securely captivated by the divided by Eurocentric fusion, illusion, closing ranks on the issues of color, self-determination, and freedom of African speech is essential to gaining new ground in our waning struggle. Let us first look at the issue of color. This color thing had its beginnings in ancient times. We can clearly see it being advanced during Constantine's, one of the Roman emperors' rule. From that time to this, the color game has been cultivated and refined as a science of people control in the maintenance of the global European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege system. People who buy into color game are people who become victims of the doctrine of European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege. They give into the belief that Caucasian are superior, that God is Caucasian, that the only way to live free of violence and have peace is to accept the conditions established by that system and to keep an acceptable physical environment, i.e. a job, a house, etc. One must go along with the Caucasian dictates. We are miles apart on this color issue. To qualify as an honorary Caucasian, some of us are bleaching our skin, looking for lighter or more Caucasian partners so we can have light children. You know, heard that the other day, that sickness. Well, you know, black folks and white folks, when they have a baby, they baby be looking real good. They baby be looking better. That's a damn lie. That's why Du Bois said the problem of the 21st century. Actually, he said the 20th century, last century. But it's still a problematic issue and will be as long as Caucasians are running it. The problem of the 21st century is the problem of the color line. We must gather ourselves and move through the new century united in our acceptance of the darkest African to the lightest African. As long as we remain separate on this issue of color, none of us who have African ancestors can ever be whole, and we can never unite as an African people. Yet the very survival of Africa is depending upon Pan-African unity. I'll repeat. The very survival of Africa is depending upon whether we know it or not, whether they know it or not. The very survival of us as a people is dependent upon Pan-African unity. Why can't we see this? We must reject Caucasian, European, extremism, racism, and privilege, and the color game it produced. Our rallying cry must be Africa for Africans at home and abroad. And as we approach this month, August 17th, of Marcus Garvey, let us celebrate. I know on the 16th, we're going to have a great day on this program. I hope you'll be joining us. Defining how we're going to deal with the issue of color is a bold step in expressing our self-determination. Relocating responsibility to defining Africanness is in the hands of Africans opens the doors to self-determination. Before the Europeans came to Africa and conquered Africa and Africans' land, we were a self-determining people. We govern ourselves. We provided for our people, protecting what was ours, and served as African gods through systems of African spiritualism. Many moons and suns have come and gone, and in that time, under the brutal, inhumane Caucasian extremism and oppression, our will for self-determination has waned. Dormant and weak though our will may be, history calls us to rise. Join minds and hands to draft a plan for liberation or perish from the face of the planet. I cannot express deeply enough or emotionally enough how true that is. But yet we don't see it because we don't believe it. We believe in the illusion of the inclusion in this system. And for Europeans, for Caucasians, we believe that. Dormant and weak, though our will may be, history calls us to rise, join minds and hands to draft a plan for liberation or perish from the face of the planet. We need schools to educate and commit our young to developing the skills and the knowledge to uplift our people. These schools must be developed and funded by us. We can't let others tell us not to build educational institutions for our own young, for our own people, or tell us how these institutions should be structured. We need to control our land, what's on it and what's under it. That's why I always say it's freeing of the African mind, not just the mind, but the M-I-N-D, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Dr. John Henry Clark. We need to control our land, what's on it and what's under it. Surely a quick death awaits a people who occupy the richest continent on the planet but lack self-determination. Can't we see what's happening? All Africans are being exploited and oppressed. It doesn't matter whether we are light, dark, rich, poor, continental, or diasporan. The whole African world is on the line, and we cannot afford to play token games on the continent or in the diaspora. This is why Dr. King said the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. And we are at that moment. As we work to build a consensus on self-determination, let us speak for ourselves, define ourselves, create for ourselves, and rise up a mighty community and nation. Practicing and exposing our right to free speech is a major pillar for self-determination. History teaches that the oppressors become very reactionary at the slightest indication of a power change. One of the first acts is to silence all troops and disrupt any and all authentic organizations. This Caucasian cover that has been cast over the legitimate movement and outcry for our freedom and justice and equality of opportunity has had a suffering and suffocating effect on African free speech. We find ourselves unable to, unwilling to speak our truth freely. That's why Claude McKay in his poem, Our Cry, wrote, I would go back to darkness and to peace, but the great Western world holds me in fear, and I may never hope for full release. While it is alien God, I bend my knees. What at first appears as self-imposed, what is the reaction of a speech, reveals itself to be a governmental denial of African free speech rights. As a system steps up its coercive ideas and speech control programs, such trigger phrases like militant, reverse racism, troublemaker, black identity extremism are used to attack and silence our cries for African free speech. A multicultural, integrated, colorblind society and cultural free programs are promoted as the answer rather than the pacifiers that they really are, as well as inclusion and diversity. On the other hand, such phrases and concepts as African-centered, African independence, and the promotion of multicultural and the promotion of multicolored, multicultural societies are rejected and criminalized. Hollywood mass produces films that promote African heroes for white folks' rights. Some films allow a few Africans to promote their thoughts under the strict direction of Caucasian producers and directors. While all the speech is going on, it is not African people speaking. Caucasians are speaking through Africans about how Caucasians see the world and feel about it. The media restricts all stories that deal with the mass destruction of African life via AIDS, the criminal injustice system, drugs, and the Eurocentric miseducation system. All the African-owned African crime or self-destruction stories are promoted consistently and through detail. These ideas and speech control programs lead us away from the issues we need to address. We find ourselves talking about issues that have nothing to do with our problem or us. We must join forces to pull off the Caucasian cover, suppressing African free speech, and tell our story to everyone we can reach. We must write and call all the media, government agencies, all government officials, church officials, and anybody else who needs to know and speak out on AIDS, the warehousing of African people in this criminal injustice system, the miseducation of African people, and the use of African people to fight in wars for Caucasian rights and issues. We should never grow tired of writing, calling, and interneting in the world until everyone is talking about the plight of African people. Moving into step with the issues of our color must be embraced with a full and determined commitment. Speaking with one voice about our freedom and justice while aligned us for action. Lock arms, brothers and sisters. Lock arms. Lock arm to arm. We will march with confidence to meet what challenges that may come. We are closing ranks to jumpstart our struggle. Ashe, ashe, ashe. Close ranks. That's what we have to do. That's something that we have been afraid to do because we are in a system that perpetuates fear. It perpetuates fear. We understand the might, the military might of the European, how he was able to do what he has been able to do, how he has bases around the world, that the biggest expenditure in this government for decades has been the military. And they start wars. They suppress legitimate aspirations of the people and various governments. They have killed African leaders. They have killed leaders in other countries. I don't know about you, but somehow those who this country has deemed as despots and dictators and all these other things, I ain't lying to you. I sometimes cheer for them because I know what this country is about. I know what it has done. I know what it has done to us. So in that respect, they can't tell me sugar, honey, iced tea. The problem, and I know it, this is the problem. We can't express this in a way to help make our mass of our people understand and begin to throw off the fear that has been instilled in us to be courageous, to be courageous enough to close ranks, come together, to unify. That's what it means. We have a caller, 6267. Good morning. Maybe just want to listen. If you want to call, if you want to talk, give me a call back. You know, I will come on this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, just like Brother Franklin does every Monday and Wednesday, and talk about how they have destroyed our minds, how they have deliberately, through a series of processes or processes, to implant things in our minds to make us behave in certain ways that can be dictated by them. And because the way they project things and the image they perpetuate of themselves, it's hard for us to really question them, because they have perpetuated an image of fairness, of equality, you know, of a good life. That's why people come from far and wide to come to this country, because how America has promoted itself and perpetuated itself, the land of opportunity. People come from far and wide, risk shark-infested waters, do all kinds of stuff to get here, stowing away, doing all kinds of stuff. And of course, you know, many of them, when they get here, it becomes a different reality. But for some individuals, because I'm going to be honest, I would never argue a point about what an individual can do in this system. That's ludicrous, because it happens. I ain't arguing about the individual. I'm talking about the collective. Individualism is a European Caucasian desire, but collectivism is an African must. It's an imperative. We are a collective people. Yeah, we have a caller, 267-267. Good morning. Okay. So when we come to understand that the only thing, and I mean, that's why Wednesday's conversation with Dr. Rogers was important, because on his program he talked about, can we liberate ourselves in the theology of Christianity? I say no. And I know there's some brothers and sisters, and there's some good churches across the country that practice a liberation theology. That's what the Shrine of the Black Madonna, they're one of the founders of liberation theology. I've been to churches that have, you know, instead of a cross, they got a knock. You know, they come in drums. They pour libation, you know. And to me, that's beautiful. They're wearing African clothing, the pastor and the congregation members and the choir. Beautiful. But I don't believe that we as African people can unite through Christianity. I don't believe that we as African people can unite through Islam. The only thing that we can, that will unite, is an African spirituality that has no name. If you want to say Ifa, but there's other African spiritual systems. So I'm not saying one system over another. I understand the importance of African spirituality. But in this uniting of African people, whether you are a spiritualist, whether you are a Christian, a Muslim, a Hebrew, whatever religious thought that you may have, or ideology, just like Malcolm said it best, when I come to the table to organize, to come together with my brothers and sisters to deal with this European, I'm not coming espousing El Islam, because I know the other people who may not be Muslims will may have some issues with that. I'm keeping that in my back pocket, because I don't suffer because I'm a Muslim. We don't suffer because we're Christians. We don't suffer because we're AKA Omega Psi Phi. We don't suffer because we NAACP or Urban League. We don't suffer because we live in Baltimore or Chicago or Atlanta or LA. We don't suffer none of those things because the only reason why we suffer is because we're Africans in a system designed to suppress and oppress African people and people outside of Europeans, people outside of Caucasians, people outside of being white. That's why. And in that system, by its very design to maintain and sustain itself, a few folks they let in to give you the illusion of inclusion, of fairness, and of equal opportunity. I said all the time, somebody asked me, well, is there opportunity in America? Yeah, there's opportunity. There's never been equal opportunity. But a lot of people who try to do it legally fall short, and so therefore they go to the other side, the illegal, of selling this and doing that. So I'm saying to you, we must, as an African people, close ranks, pull our resources, and do for ourselves. A dynamic Pan-Africanism is the only way. Yes, it is spiritual, but it's also cultural, and it is truly technological. We can use these mediums for our liberation. We can use these mediums to help sustain ourselves and create for ourselves. Yes, I know if you on Google, if you on Internet Explorer, if you on any of these other things, who controls them? Then you create it for yourself. See all the time on Facebook, people who have created stuff, Africans who have created things. It is so numerous, it's ridiculous. It really is. And consistently showing the ability of African people to go beyond whatever circumstances that we are, to be as creative as we can be. We can do this, brothers and sisters. The question is, do we have the will? Marcus Garvey. Up, you mighty people. You can accomplish what you will. Up, you mighty people. You can accomplish what you will. Do we have the will to do it? If we don't have the will, we can't accomplish not a damn thing. But if we develop the will collectively, we can accomplish whatever it is that we desire, whatever it is that we need. Up, you mighty people. Close ranks. I know the fear factor is tremendous because that's what they do here. That's what they create here, putting fear into our people. Just like when they talked about on the plantation. Well, I don't see no fences around here. What keep them on from that? Fear. We deeply have indoctrinated them into bleeding, and we've showed them what will happen if they try to escape. We put that fear into them. Then we gave them a religion. We imposed a religion on them that further substantiated that fear. Brothers and sisters, we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, there'll be more discussion. I'm going to talk about this diversity thing, an article from the blackagendareport.com, blackagendareport.com, and on diversity, and Sister Kamala Harris. So we'll deal with that when we come back. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspective here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Some little funk for you, Parliament Funkadelic, America East is Young, a joyful process. Excuse me. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays. This program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Monday and Wednesday is Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix, from Monday and Wednesday from 1:30 to 3, Monday and Wednesday. Monday night, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8. Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 6. Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. And then on Tuesday, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy from 7 to 8. Friday from 8 until Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it is Revive with Sister PLC. And then Sunday night at 7 p.m. until 10, it once again is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And every Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., the Warren Ballantyne Show, right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. A little agua there, man. Sometimes those things happen. And, you know, I tell you, brothers and sisters, it's interesting. You know, that for all these years. See, we don't have the platforms that the European has to consistently perpetuate and promote that perspective. They are in control of the media. They are in control, as Brother Franklin Jones always said, they are in control of the narrative. They dictate what's happening. The educational process, all the way from preschool to graduate school, their whole system. Everything in the system is designed to help maintain and sustain the privilege that Europeans have created for themselves. I'm not asking you to hate anybody, but what Europeans have done has created a situation in the system to make us hate ourselves. And many of the people that we look at and look up to in the system, we don't see the fact that they're self-hating and they do the bidding of Europeans, but the results are there. And yet, we keep hoping for, you know, that's the definition of stupidity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. We keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting that Caucasians, Europeans, will behave in a manner that would be better for us. And of course, nothing could be furthest from the truth. You know, I remember on the fire department, they kept talking about diversity. Because, you know, affirmative action, which was designed for some type of inclusion because of we had been excluded in various occupations, universities, and so forth. They're involved in affirmative action programs and said that because of the situation, we're going to set aside positions for American Africans, Latinos, Native Americans, and, of course, women, just women, period. And, of course, the biggest group of people in this country still at this moment is Caucasian women. But yet, because of the dictatorial nature of Caucasian men that is still pervasive today, women, of course, will always be relegated and excluded. Of course, but women
particularly Caucasian women, but women, they help their man. In societies, generally, women function in support of their men. From ancient times to this moment, they function in support of their men. And so when affirmative action was done away with, and this thing called diversity was, you know, put on the society by the same people who do every damn thing else, and understanding this idea of diversity, we wouldn't have to. I remember on the fire department when they came up with that, and they had each firehouse had a diversity statement, you know, that they weren't worth the paper printed on. That was bull, you know. These are just once again a smokescreen. Well, this American exceptionalism, that because of how America was created and then America espouses to be a multi, I don't know if you want to call it ethnic, multicultural, multi whatever kind of society, that is America's exceptionalism. But no, America's exceptionalism is an European expansion of imperialism. That's what American exceptionalism is. And American exceptionalism is the European arm, the military arm of European expansion. That's what America is. America is the bully for Caucasian people. American exceptionalism. Kamala Harris embodies the most dangerous myth of American exceptionalism. Danny Hopjung with the is a contributor to Black Agenda Report, and here she's speaking to the AIP, the IPAC, which is a Jewish, European Jewish organization, political organization that is, you know, staunch, not the theology of it, just the nationalism of it, the territory of it, the taking of people's land, eliminating people. Harris loves apartheid Israel and throwing American African people in prison, which makes her the perfect American African corporate Democrat. Recent developments in the Democratic Party's ongoing effort to neutralize its left-leaning base has exposed the most dangerous myth of American exceptionalism. This myth is embodied in the electoral campaign of Kamala Harris and assumes that the Democratic Party is the engine of diversity and inclusion in America. Diversity and inclusion are prominent buzzwords in the Democratic Party, especially within major universities and nonprofit organizations. They preserve the architect of the empire by painting it with an ebony hue, or a hue of whatever oppressed and exploited sector of society requires representation within the existing structures of this system. Such representation, however, comes without the power necessary for oppressed people, especially for American Africans, to determine their own destinies and transform the miserable conditions imposed upon them by the very forces directing the diversity scam. The politics of diversity and inclusion were a response to the African liberation movement and the radical movements of the 60s and 70s. As a counterinsurgency measure, diversity fights racism, not by fighting for political and economic power, but by legitimizing the institutions of oppression through the development of inclusion leaders civil to corporate power. The presence of such leaders, we are told, makes the U.S. an exceptional nation capable of correcting the most heinous examples of racism and oppression, mainly on a rhetorical basis. Yeah, because it ain't real, it's rhetorical. Kamala Harris is the most dangerous example of this kind of diversity in the 2020 Democratic primary race. Her record as a committed servant to the Wall Street and mass incarceration state is well documented. Yet her opportunistic reference to diversity have only strengthened her position within the Democratic establishment. According to Black Agenda Report executive editor Glenn Ford, The con of diversity began after the wholesale dismantling of affirmative action in the Bakke court case in 1978. This case established that institutions of higher education could no longer institute quotas for African admissions, for American African admissions, and essentially stripped the federal government of the power to enforce affirmative action towards African enlightenment upliftment. Diversity replaced affirmative action as a corporate-led movement to legitimize the careers of individuals such as Kamala Harris, leaving the majority of American African people behind. Diversity and inclusion have been employed by ruling elites to erase history and steer leftists to an ideology devoid of class struggle. The mission is to make U.S. imperialism and aesthetically pleasing and to ensure that the masses will forego any demand for socially transformative justice. Diversity inclusion should not be conflicted with progressive efforts to defend African teachers from layoffs and privatization. It is also an antidote for existing discrimination, especially of the racial variety. Rather, the con of diversity perfects and protects Caucasian imperial power and makes the U.S. exceptional in its ability to concede safe spaces for minority and of Black Americans and other oppressed sections of the society within the halls of power. But those halls not only maintain their oppressive character, but they also become more effective in the oppression and exploitation that they dole out to the masses of people. Kamala Harris is the most dangerous example of diversity at inclusion at work. This was made explicitly clear in the recent dust-up between House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and the Gang of Four. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ayanna Pressley, Rashida Tlaib, and Ilhan Omar. Pelosi attacked the Four and Ocasio-Cortez in particular, claiming that their numerical weakness and unwillingness to toe the party line on Twitter were offenses worth condemning. After Cortez rightfully criticized the attack, Kamala Harris immediately came to Pelosi's defense. Harris stated on the Breakfast Club radio program that Pelosi supported and respected women of color without question and denied the legitimacy of any claim to the contrary. Harris and the rest of the African misleadership class, as the beacons of diversity, are always ready to defend the corporate oligarchs who provide the patronage for their existence. They're ready to defend the corporate oligarchs who provide the patronage for their existence. All that corporate money. The Republican Party and Trump make their lives easier by throwing racist red meat into the fire whenever a crisis arises. This time, Pelosi attacked, threatened to further expose the real policy within the Democratic Party. These are based upon the fact that over 80% of the Democratic Party's base wants a Green New Deal on Medicare for all and living wage jobs to become a priority for the Democratic Party. Pelosi, who has made a fortune busting unions, supporting privatization, and peddling wars, has no interest in improving the conditions of poor people, especially American African people. Kamala Harris and Pelosi are two sides of the same corporate coin, yet Trump's racism gives them a pass whenever they run into real political trouble. The same week that Trump came to Pelosi's defense by demanding that the Gang of Four go back to where they came from, Kamala Harris attempted to match the xenophobia of the president by stating that Colin Kaepernick's protest against racist policies wasn't a real thing. According to Harris, Russian bots spread that Kaepernick story to the American African community to undermine the Democratic Party. To Harris, American Africans is nothing but a duped Russian anti-racist protest contriving project of the Russians to implant Trump in the White House. Both Pelosi and Harris' political behavior should be enough to raise popular objection. Yet all that occurred was a symbolic vote in the House condemning Trump's comments as racist. Pelosi and Harris were taken off the hook for attacking the left-leaning respective representatives of their party. Diversity is an anti-African political project of ruling elites designed to revive the exceptional character of the U.S. imperial nation state. The project is mainly governed by the Democrats to produce the clash relationships of an empire in decline in a more effective manner than Trump and Republicans. Harris embodies the dangers of diversity trapped better than any political candidate in the 2020 election race. While understandable critique should be leveled on Trump's administration and his Justice Department for failing to bring federal charges to Eric Garner's murder in Blue, few have mentioned that it was district attorney and attorney generals such as Harris who have worked hard to ensure that police murders of African people are not properly investigated and punished. On the international front, Harris has exploited the civil rights movement in a pledge of her undying loyalty to the apartheid state of Israel. In 2018, a transcript of Harris' remarks at the AIPAC revealed that the California senator and presidential hopeful equated the struggle for Zionist supremacy in Palestine to the African struggle against the Klan and white supremacy, despite the fact that Israel has imposed a racist system of colonialism on the Palestinian people for well over a half a century. The ruling class hopes to use diversity and inclusion to kill the American African left's influence on the 2020 election. Either Harris will be anointed the party nominee or Joe Biden will use his connections on Wall Street and with the American African political class to ensure it for himself. Either way, the bankrupt leaders that the con of diversity has helped create will play a decisive factor in who gets to challenge Trump for the next term in the Oval Office. The legacy and politics of African liberation movement leaders such as Mumia Abdul-Jamal, who is currently going blind in prison due to medical neglect, and the exile Ashanti Shakur will be drawn out by the Democratic Party. Party elites claim to be the engine of diversity in America, yet refuse to allow Democratic socialists such as Bernie Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez to implement policies popular with over 80% of the voting base of their party. Diversity is a sham and a murderous one at that. Legitimate criticism does not need to fall into the trap of identity politics or other right-wing scams. What is most important to expose is how the so-called enlightened ruling class aligned with the Democratic Party has used diversity to promote a more exceptional America, one where the questions of class, empire, and Caucasian, European extremism, racism, and privilege must never be uttered or addressed. As diversity has become more prominent, so too have the conditions of mass incarcerated Africans, endless wars, and the permanent austerity. Leaders like Kamala Harris have exploited in the contradictions of capitalism and imperialism to further their careers and could only survive as long as the American African left is neutralized, both ideologically and politically. And no matter how unpopular they may be, the likes of Harris will continue to fester on the blood of the oppressed until we let go of the narrative of diversity and begin developing a movement that makes internationalism and class struggle a priority instead of an afterthought. American exceptionalism and American innocence, a people's history of fake news from the Revolutionary War to the War on Terror. And that's right. You know, the deal is this. There is a serious push. I believe that Biden will win the nomination. I believe that Biden will win the nomination. And to solidify that position in the Democratic Party and to the minds of those who are Democrats, he will choose either Kamala Harris or the big push at this moment has been to push Michelle Obama. Either one of them. And into the minds of these duped individuals, us, That will be just the ticket we need. That's the ticket that will defeat Trump, and that's the ticket that puts an American African woman a heartbeat away from the presidency. I believe that's what's going to happen. But we'll see. We have a long way to go, but we'll see. 646, good afternoon.
Brother Ochi, what's going on, man? I see you giving the Negro some hope about old yellow mama.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I know.
Whoa. That Negro get a smile on his face.
I know.
Every time you hear Mammy name. Oh, every time
believe
you hear
me.
Mammy.
Believe
you
me.
Know
they,
what I mean?
Jay, everything that you see online, if you go to Facebook and other, sometimes you get emails and so forth, the praise for Michelle Obama. She has now become the most admired woman in the world.
And the sad thing is, Negroes don't even know her history. If you really vetted the history of Michelle Obama, she's a corporatist, no good black woman who done more to hurt black people than she has to help them, if the truth be told. Do her history in Chicago when she got almost disbarred and she gave up her law license and went to work for the University of Chicago Hospital. And what she did to make it so that black people, poor people, could no longer go to the hospital there. Oh, no. Let's tell the truth about Michelle Obama and what she did. No, brother. The sad thing is we are such a sick people that we always praise people who we perceive to be our heroes and who have done something for us in the eyes of the Yoruba. No, she's a no good dirty woman. She hurt a lot of black people.
Well,
let's not get it twisted.
Well, see, that's the
Please
thing.
Don't get it twisted,
well, see, that's
brother.
The thing, though, Jay. That information may be out there, but the dominant narrative. The dominant narrative, which is controlled by Europeans, and this is what they want to throw out there. They want to throw out, like I'm saying, you right now, you won't see what you just mentioned, but what you will see is all the great things that this woman is about and what she has done, the raising of her two daughters, this, that, and the other.
What has she done? The question becomes, what has she really done to liberate and to give African people sovereignty? See, there's a difference between doing something for the collective and there's a difference of doing something for African people. So what, she raised two daughters. Are they for the liberation and the sovereignty of African people? Don't it already seem that one of them sleep Yoruba? We don't know what the other one is or what she may be, but the bottom line is, it's not like she's trying to move forward the opinions and the ideas of Africans being sovereign,
but see,
and having something for ourselves and building for ourselves. No, brother, we got to be able to identify these people and tell the truth.
Let me say this, Jay. Let me say this, because you and me think in this way, and that's what they should be about. The understanding is this, unfortunately, that our people don't think that way. They think about how well they are received by Caucasians, how well they are admired by Caucasians, how well they are supported by Caucasians. And that being the case, then the admiration for those individuals is very high. But if you are somebody who is talking, see, and so I'm saying is, so when you look at Michelle Obama, when you look at Kamala Harris, when you look at Cory Bush, when you look at these people who are being touted politically at this very moment to be the next president of the of this bull, you know, they too sing America. They're not singing.
Yeah, but that's why you got to counterbalance. That's why you got to put out the information on who and what this character really is. You got to stop making this American system be the end and the be all of all things good in regards to black people. You have to show the contradiction. Unfortunately, we haven't figured out how to show the contradiction. It's just like Negroes saying, if me and you was on certain things and we were kind of reactive and counterproductive in regards to what's being said, they'll label me and you bots. You ever heard of some nonsense like that, bot?
We're a bot, huh?
This is how the Negro is.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I read that. Yeah, I read that in this piece I just read that the you know, the Colin Kaepernick, Kamala Harris put out that it was a Russian bot, that the Colin Kaepernick piece was a doing of Russian. It wasn't that Colin Kaepernick had a develop a consciousness and an understanding of who he is culturally as an African person, and that he's seen injustice in society, and understanding that from his position as a professional football player, he can make some kind of symbolism against what's going on, and chose to do what he did. He was advised by others about what should I do. And in fact, the Caucasian military dude told him, just take a knee. You know, just take a knee. When they played the national anthem, just take a knee. And of course, because of that, you know, he's been vilified and castigated. And of course, he's a pariah, you know, for many Caucasians, and to some other people, he's courageous. He's a, you know, and of course,
and some Negroes don't hire him, hold him in such high esteem.
Oh no, of course you they don't. I mean? The Negroes, no, they don't, because you challenged America, you protest against America, the land that they love, the land that. That's why I don't give no props to anybody in the military. I really don't, unless they came out of the military with an African mind. They came out of the military knowing what the military does, because the military is designed to help, no doubt about it, to help maintain and sustain what Europeans have done. And yes, there's a number of us in the military that will make whatever sacrifice we have to make, kill whoever we have to kill, destroy whoever we have to destroy, to help maintain that.
Hey, the bottom line is this. If you don't want African sovereignty, you don't want nothing. You just basically playing games, trying to get into a better position in whiteness.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, me and the Queen was arguing over the other night in regards to No Neck Martin and his wearing of African garb. You know, I in a way take offense to it. Because if you don't have the real spirit of African, you don't appreciate certain African things, and you cope into Christianity and that BS, you're not a real African in my opinion. The same as you buck dancing every chance you get for them Greek freaks. You're not an African to me. So, me personally, with it, I don't think you should wear our products.
Well, I mean, I whether or not, I mean, because, you know, when you started saying that, it reminded me of back in the day of gang situations, of being a false flagger. You know, that you wearing the colors, but you ain't real. You false flagging. And it's the same situation to some degree, I guess, that here he's wearing African clothes, but he has a European mind, you know, and it's basically symbolism without substance, you know.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
That's all it is. You're not for the liberation of Africa. You're not for the movement of African people. What are you wearing the clothes for? What are you trying to represent? A fashion statement?
Yeah.
Africa is not in your heart. African is not your value system. You know what I mean? Come on.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like you want to wear African garb one moment, and the next you want to wear some Greek nonsense? What's wrong with you, Negro? You know what I mean? How you going to be African and you talking about I'm an AK or I'm this and I'm that? Get out of here.
Yeah.
You insane.
See, that's why I'm saying,
you don't have no allegiance to that nonsense and be an African?
See, that's why I'm saying, Jay, all of these things that we are involved in, what should be most paramount, that we are African people. And once again, when we coming to the table to discuss what we must do for us to once again step on stage of human history as free and proud and productive and sovereign, we need to leave all that in the back, put it in our back pocket, leave it in the closet, leave it, damn it, at home, and come here with an open heart and an open mind of what we can do for the liberation and self-determination and independence for African people. Period. That's what Malcolm said. That's why I love that quote, because that's what's necessary. No, man, we ain't no damn AKA. We ain't no damn Omega Sci-Fi. We ain't no, you know, we ain't the Urban League, National NACP. All of these things are co-opted. All of these things are manipulated by the European. In fact, to me, it is such a deep offense. I understand how the stuff evolved because of exclusion, you know. But then to call yourselves Greeks when we understand who the Greeks are and their perversion, you know, their pedophilia, you know, to understand what the Greeks are, to call ourselves Greek, you got to be insane. So to me, that should, if there is any true leadership of the day, yes, you honor those men from back in the day because they didn't know no damn better. But today you should know better. And so today, I'm not branding on all these other symbols of these Greek symbols. No, if I'm a brand on some, I'm a brand on a ankh. I'm a brand on up here. I'm going to do something that is African. I'm starting the African Lodge. I'm starting the African fraternity, the African sorority. I'm starting that. I'll be a part of that. I ain't going to be a part of no damn Greek mess, no sugar, honey, iced tea.
I call them the Greek freaks, the real Greek freaks, not the basketball players. These are the real Greek freaks. I mean, listen, let's leave it like this. You can't be an African if you represent someone else's culture before yours.
That's right.
When you
I
put
agree.
Some sort of fraternity in front of your Africanness, you're insane. You're insane. The whole supposed rituals that you go through is nonsense. But hey, who am I to say? But listen, OC, have a good weekend.
You too, dear brother.
I may hit you back.
Hey.
Before you get off, continue doing what you're doing. And listen, I enjoyed hearing Baba Rogers on Wednesday.
Right on.
It always makes
yes.
me feel good when I hear Baba Rogers.
Right on.
Because he's such a strong African man and a wise, wise elder. And he's just doing what he do.
That's
but
right.
Let me ask you this right quick
sure.
before I go. Have you been listening to that character Warren Valentine at all?
I've heard a few. I've heard him before. In fact, I was on a program with him once back when I was in Milwaukee. I'm not really.
He's a fraud.
Huh?
He's a fraud. I'll say it. You can't say it, but I can. He's a fraud. He's a con man. And he's always looking to get you involved in something that benefits him financially with you under the illusion that it's going to help you out. With this whole so-called
well, that's what happened to him. That's what happened to him back then. He got exposed, you know, and he,
you know, and he lucky he didn't wind up in jail. And the sad thing is, because of his shenanigans, I think he lost his law license.
I believe so. I know,
but hey, listen,
I know he was punished.
You can have him. But I'll talk to you next week, O.
All right, man.
Because as always, stay being African, brother. Hotep.
Peace. Thanks, Jay. You know, the thing is this. There has to come a moment in our sojourn on this planet that we return to our source. I know that what the European is able to do is deeply impactful on our minds. All of the technology he has, all of the ability to develop these illusions, to control the narrative, to impress upon us that what they have done is somehow going to be good for us, and that we should just, you know, go along to get along and embrace it, regardless of the detriment to us as a people, buying into the idea of individualism, that somehow that you have done all the things that society asks of you and you have been rewarded. Others have done all the things they weren't, but you believe that the society is fair. You got yours. Now you go get, I got mine. Now you go get yours. And if you don't get yours, there's something wrong with you. There's not anything wrong with the society. There's something wrong with you because I got mine. And it's there to be gotten. It's there for the getting. And that's the mindset of the majority of our people. The theology that has been imposed upon us, particularly Christianity, keeps us in that state of mind. Islam is no better. Those who call themselves Black Hebrew Israelites, no better. So I'm saying, and I'll continue to say, the only thing is a dynamic Pan-Africanism, a development of unity, a functional unity for African people, a Pan-Africanism that is cultural, taking what is best of African culture and African people, spiritual, the spiritual systems of African people, even in the Christian and in the Muslim and anything else, but not a dominance of it, not an imposition of it, not a proselytizing of it. No proselytize. The only thing we want to proselytize or talk about or impose is the idea of self-determination, liberation, sovereignty. Sovereignty. What is sovereignty? Yeah, I know. We go through this all the time. But it's always important to understand what sovereignty is. It's like sometimes I like to talk about what racism is and what it isn't. I'm trying. And see, also too, these things are not me. It's not Brother Oshi. Because I don't give my opinion. Because my opinion is profane. There's sometimes I go off a profanity-laced tirade, a serious rant. I like to give you the information by our scholars, our historians, our elders, our ancestors, men and women who back in the day didn't have foundation money, grant money. But they reclaimed, recaptured, and recovered and restored the history of us as a people to present it to us because they understood that history is like the roots of a tree. It grounds you in the knowledge of yourself. What happens to a tree if it doesn't have those roots? Yes, brothers and sisters, it will die. What happens to a people who neglect and don't understand their history? They will die. Sovereignty. The successful outcome of any nationalist movement is sovereignty for the people. Being sovereign means having absolute control over the life of the nation. Right now, as always, for African people, sovereignty is measured by how intelligently, independently, and powerfully we control our resources, our story, our culture, time, space, and our destiny. It is to have the power within the nation to control our lives and to control them in our best interests, regardless of opposition from those outside of us. Accordingly, being sovereign has to mean that there is no one beyond us who makes any decisions about how we rule ourselves, how we live, what we believe, how we deal with enemies, whether outside of us or those traitors inside of us, and how we visualize our future and communicate and express that vision. It means that we are completely and consciously self-defining, self-determining, self-empowered, and self-respecting. And since no nation has ever raised to power and stayed there without holding their own tradition sacred, sovereignty necessarily means that we know, respect, protect, and extend in time through every coming generation who we are as a direct reflection of our ancestors. Sovereignty must be, it must be our ultimate goal, because anything else is pathetic and weak. It is sovereignty for African people. No, the politics of this country will never speak of sovereignty for African people. No. Those are in politics. And that's what I'm saying. You know, the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, hell, even an independent party, if it's trying to find some way to find a comfortable corner or niche in this system, is ineffective and it is a sham. The only thing that we should be doing is closing ranks. Closing ranks. The only thing we should be doing is respecting one another, trusting one another, building for one another, not listening to a damn thing Caucasians have to say. They have no influence over me personally. I understand the influence they have over our people. I have an understanding with the influence that Caucasians have over this world. And I know that anybody who tries to upset that, you know, death could be the solution for Caucasians. I understand that. But I, at this moment in time, at my age, and at our condition, more important, not necessarily my age, because hell, I've been saying what I'm saying for decades. I just didn't come recently into this mindset. I've become more of a sovereigntist in the last, I'd say, 10 years or so, even before I moved from Milwaukee to come here. And of course, here are two of the most adamant sovereigntists, you know, Dr. Mirimba Ani and Baba Mwalimu Burudi. But there are many others. There are many others. And what needs to happen? All those who are sincere and committed, we need to come together. I'm hoping that the Pan-African movement, which is necessary, becomes a real Pan-African movement. I know we're having a meeting here in Atlanta next year. And I'm hoping that this meeting here in Atlanta will signal a worldwide Pan-African movement that will shake the continent on its foundation, that will make leadership on the continent understand that no deals with anybody outside of us. I would love to, and I'm of course romanticizing about this definitely, that we come so strong that we tell all those who had previously done things on the continent, no more. No more to the Chinese. No more to the Indians. No more to the Koreans. No more to the Europeans. No more. We'll evaluate everything else. First, we got to clean up our house. You have to get out. And in order for my house to get cleaned, you got to go. When I get my house together, if there's something that you want, you come to me correctly. We'll deal with it. Otherwise, stay out. But because we've been, I mean, these are centuries, brother. These are hundreds of years. These are hundreds of years. And so, as a consequence, we've been so indoctrinated. We've been so impressed that some of us blame ourselves, because understand, the indoctrination leads you to that perspective, leads you to the idea that you are your own worst enemy. Your people are your own worst enemy. It is your people, their inability, their ignorance, their frailties. It is them. So you blame us, the victim of this evil, monstrous system. Instead of saying, regardless, I'm going to embrace you if you embrace yourself. I can't hang with you if you're going to continue with the same mindset. There has to come a point in time saying, at this moment, in this time frame, this is what we're going to do. All those who are in, come on in. Those who are out, stay out. I'm serious. I think and I believe and I hope and I pray that that's what happens. Because we can no longer just continue to hope and pray, make these conversations, make outstanding speeches, all the symbolism, all that other stuff. It has to come a point that we say, this is what the deal is. We make this declaration to the world. And that we as an African people are saying, this is what it is. And African people, come home. If you come, come with the sincerity and the commitment and the knowledge of doing for self. If you are proven to be otherwise, we're going to have to deal with you. We have to. Just like what we said about the piece I read on sovereignty, we have to deal with enemies within and without. And of course, you know, when you understand European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, the threat of that must be neutralized. And the greatest threat to that system is us as African men. That's why we suffer so deeply in this kind of system. We are the greatest threat. So, appreciate listening. Appreciate those who join me. And hope you have a great weekend. Whatever it is that you're going to do. I know in 2 weeks, it'll be Marcus Garvey's birthday. And there was nobody who loved us more. Nobody who loved us more to the extent of understanding of doing for self than Marcus Mosiah Garvey. I know there were some other men and women who tried to impress upon this system to treat my people equitably, Dr. King, so forth. But even him, even he at the towards the end, as he told Harry Belafonte, I believe I'm trying to integrate my people into a burning building, into a messed up situation. There were others. And I think the others that were honorable to the degree that they just wanted the Caucasian to live up to the words that he put on paper. But now we know. We have the history. Malcolm said it the best. Of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. When you look at the history of the European, when it comes to those outside themselves, how they behave, what they did. That's what I'm saying. My favorite book, if you listen to this program, you know. To me, this book is the Bible, and that is Urugu. An African-centered critique of European cultural thought and behavior. Dr. Marimba Ani, seminal work. It must be read. I know for many of us it's scary. There's a lot of books that we are afraid to even touch, especially because the Bible, those who are steeped in the Bible, they can't touch it. They can't wrap their minds around it because their minds have been co-opted. We have to, dear brothers. We have to close ranks. We have to close ranks. Pull our resources do for ourselves. No more begging. No more pleading. No more hoping. None of that. It's a new day. An awakening. It's time for an awakening, isn't it? Yes, it is. It's been time for an awakening. It's time for us as African people to close ranks. So, hope you guys have a great weekend. Hope it's safe for you. Hope the weather is good for you. Hope that whatever family outings that you may have, they're fun, they're enjoyable, and they're safe. You know, I know that for some families, they can't come together. Some family gatherings become, because of alcohol and drugs and other things, become something that is that is horrifying. Not memorable in a positive way, but memorable in a way that just makes you cringe. It makes you want to cry. What we experience here, brothers and sisters, is by design. It is by design. But yet, see, we blame ourselves because we've been trained to. We've been trained to blame ourselves and blame each other instead of putting the blame where it squarely belongs. On European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege. I'm going to have another program on racism again, because when you hear all this stuff, you're a racist. Trump is a racist. We need to define that not by even what the dictionary says it is, or not by what they say, but by what it means for us as African people. What is racism? What is the meaning of race? We need to talk about that. I might do something next week. Deal with that. Because a lot of times we just too afraid, too scared to deal with it. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. And this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, Shemhotep means go in peace, and Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodio means our victorious destiny. Bibi Fahodio family, have a wonderful weekend. Peace.